This is a replay of the Tuesday night, March 4th, WGN show. We started around 10:30. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings on Less Sports Preemptus. That's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
I'm Raleigh James. Well, I can't top that. But if you want to talk about anything but politics, this is the place for you. 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, we're here till 1 a.m., and as I always say, if it's on your mind, it'll be on mine. Sadly, a couple of notes, one of which is Harry Elston died. I had said that to John, and he said, "Who's that?" Oh, man. Friends of Distinction. Yeah, Grazing in the Grass, the lyrics and lead, and of course, Going in Circles and so much more. He was born in Dallas, moved to L.A., formed the Hi-Fis with Floyd Butler, and then, of course, that morphed into the Friends of Distinction. And Lamont McLemore of the Fifth Dimension, who was a very close friend of Harry's, announced that on his Facebook page. Have not seen much elsewhere on that, but if Lamont says so, I think you can kind of take that to the bank. So rest in peace, Harry, and you know we'll play a couple of the Friends of Distinction songs for you, no doubt about that. Also, Carl Dean, you might have heard about that because it happened yesterday, actually, and in Nashville. Carl was Dolly Parton's husband since 1966, and no cause of death was listed, but there is a cause of death known, and he had Alzheimer's, and so he was diagnosed in 2019. And so rather, in some ways, a relief for him and probably for Dolly, but still tremendously sad, and rest in peace, Carl Dean. So, man, they're just dropping like flies this year. It's interesting. All right, so what else do I have to tell you, other than the news of the weird, which we may tell you? The next full moon, in case you're counting, is Friday morning, March 14th, and that's at 1:54 in the morning. And then on March 15th, Mercury goes into retrograde. So if you believe in that, you know that's the time not to sign new agreements and all that kind of stuff. It's it rules communication and written words, and it's not the kind of thing where it's going to doom you. It's just more likely that that there'll be something that needs to be redone, that there are mistakes in a contract. Or it also rules travel, and that's not the time the plane's going to come out of the sky, but it might be the time that they lose your luggage. So that's Mercury retrograde coming up next. Now, for those looking at the new moon, yeah, the prosperity checks and all that, that's Saturday, March 29th. All right, so that is the deal with the moon phases, and number of things. Yes, too numerous to mention. Meaning I've lost the show prep again. Yes, it was bound to happen, but I did. So you know, last night full board of calls all night on our abbreviated Monday night trivia, and for many of you I said, well, we'll talk about it tomorrow night. Call back. So now's your time to do that. 888-876-5593-8888-R-O-L-L-Y-E would do it to it. And what else? What else do we have? Several alligator attacks and other fish attacks. Yes, large ones. And all of the news of the weird stories that that you're used to hearing. So let's see if I can bring on anything. Should have before the show reviewed all of those. But like everybody else, I was listening somewhat to the speech and the rebuttal. And as I say, we can just skip that. All right. So what do we have? Well, it's come to this. Yes, in the Sichuan province of China, where apparently visitors were left with a bad impression of this tourist attraction. Well, attraction, we'll use that loosely, this month. Apparently, the problem is that it was the Shengdao Snow Village, which would be fine, except they've had unseasonably warm weather. And because of that, the coordinators had to improvise a snowy atmosphere. They stapled cotton sheets to the rooftops and scattered white sand. I am not making this up. Yes, cotton batting and soapy water to simulate snow throughout the property. And bottom line is the Snow Village organizer said the entry fees will be refunded and the village has closed. Yeah, probably permanent after that news. Now, we have Munich, Germany. That's right. Don't let it all be in China. We can go everywhere for our odd news. Stumped by the appearance of more than 1,000 small stickers on grave markers in three different cemeteries. The stickers all feature a QR code. That, when scanned, reveals the name of the person in the grave and the location within the cemetery. And the stickers were put on decades-old gravestones, and very new ones as well. You know, the ones that don't even have a headstone yet, just a cross. And police are investigating it as property damage, because when removed, the stickers leave discoloration. Yeah. Now, see, I was hoping when I read this that there would be all sorts of things in that QR code, like the old Bill Cosby bit about the drive-through cemetery, you know, don't I look natural? Yeah, and all that kind of stuff. But no, it was that. But we have a number of other things of the same ilk, no less, including a guy who has collected almost 10,000 bricks. All right, yeah, your calls are desperate, or I'm desperate for your calls anyway. But right now, we'll check out the news right here on WGN Radio. Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Yeah, Friends of Distinction, that's their signature record, Grazing in Circles, and it was Harry Elston who not only sang lead, but also wrote the words to it. It was an instrumental from the previous year, 1968, Umasakala, of course, but it's interesting. I had mentioned that Lamont McLemore had, on his Facebook page, first put out the notice that sadly Harry Elston died. There's a connection between the two of them beyond just friendship. In the early 60s, Elston, along with Floyd Butler, who, by the way, was the guy who sang lead on Going in Circles, were ad salesmen for a new Los Angeles magazine, Elegant. It was a fashion magazine, and it was started by a photographer, and that photographer was Lamont McLemore. Now, in 1963, they had, and by the way, Lamont had been from St. Louis, along with a couple of the other folks who wound up in the fifth dimension. But here he was now in L.A., and he, along with Marilyn McCoo and Elston and Butler, had a quartet called the High Fives. And they were mostly an opening act. They toured with Ray Charles. And then McLemore and McCoo left. They found the fifth dimension. And Elston and Butler formed Friends of Distinction. and which originally was called Distinctive Friends. And they recruited Barbara Jean and Jessica, Barbara Jean Love and Jessica Cleaves. And so that, too, was a quartet. And so that was just huge. And sadly, when you get right down to it, that and Going in Circles were pretty much it for big chart acts, but certainly not for the breadth of talent that Harry Elston had, as well as just being an all-around great guy. When they formed Friends of Distinction, Jim Brown, the football guy, he was managing them and signed them to RCA. And so it was interesting because he got them on RCA. And meanwhile, you know, Soul, Motown, and all Stax and all that are going strong. But sure enough, out of RCA Studios in Hollywood, California, came Grazing in the Grass. All right, so rest in peace to Harry Elston. So sorry to have to say that. And he was born in 1938, so he was up there. But nonetheless, sad to note. And by the way, as far as I know, he was in good health. I think his death, while not unexpected for a man in his late 80s, nonetheless was somewhat of a shock, since he wasn't, and that's good, suffering tremendously. All right, so rest in peace, Harry. I mentioned Lamont McLemore. I'm going to play something that he was in earlier. I think I played it before, actually, because when he was in St. Louis, he was in the Intervals. He was also in a couple other groups. And the Intervals wound up coming to L.A. and recording for Leon Rene at Class, and had one great song that was a woulda, coulda, shoulda. And also last night when we were doing all that St. Louis stuff, I meant to play the Georgettes, though it didn't fit entirely because Oliver Sane wasn't involved with the Georgettes, but you got to hear Hard Hard. So all that is coming up along with your calls and your requests. I've got a lot of them to play. 888-876-5593. Eduardo is in Tampa. What's going on tonight, Eduardo?
Yeah, Riley. You know, too bad you can't hit the magic button. You know, when it's your time, just hit the button and forget what else.
Oh no, I tell you, as far as that goes, I'm sure that Trump trumps all at this point. You know, I'm not commenting on it, but I certainly think it's probably a lot more newsworthy than anything I'm saying.
Well, and then they do the rebuttal too. It's not just
Of course, they had to have a rebuttal, don't you know?
That takes longer.
So, and some people were cheering on, and other people were throwing fruit at the walls, and that's what makes it fun.
Yeah. Hey, a couple of technology things here. I was telling John, the 235-year-old flying car.
Yeah?
Forget Waymo. How about a flying car?
Yeah, right. Exactly. And apparently taking flight over California roads, no less. Now, never mind that it's 235 years old. It's 235,000 pounds. Not in weight, obviously, as in British sterling, pounds. So it was a test flight, but I had no idea that it was 235 years old. I thought it was just 235,000 pounds in dollars, or in pounds,
okay.
Obviously. So yeah, I'm not 100% sure about that. It's a startup in California, and they think they're close. Well, why not? I was thinking there might be an intermediate step like maglev or something like that before we took to all-out flight, but why not? Apparently a successful test. I got to look up, and I didn't do this before. I saw the car, and it looks amazingly like a memory foam pillow, but I'm curious what roads it flew over, because, you know, you don't have to be drinking to see that go by and think something's up with this. So, yeah, I want to know.
And I'm thinking, like, what if you get close to a plane?
Well,
you know,
I don't think you're going that high. So unless you're cruising right by La Cienega Boulevard at the airport, you're probably safe from that. But I'm curious, where did they do this? So I'll try to find out, because that is interesting. I assume it hopefully over a desert or, you know, a military base or something.
Uh-huh.
You know, as opposed to, you know, the Santa Monica Freeway. Let's find out if I can. So yeah, I don't see why not. Flying car sounds good to me. And over the streets of California, a real life flying car. All right, so let's see. The test flight of Model Zero, a drive and fly prototype built by San Mateo, California. They didn't do this over San Mateo. No, I'm looking at this. There's a big desert here or something. A field anyway. And so it lasted only a few moments. So it's not like they went blocks. But they put a video of it on social media, so you can probably see it there for yourself. But near as I can say, it and
and it's in Daily Mail, too. That's right. Where I found it.
It and a road never came in contact. So it lifts off like a helicopter and flies over a second parked car before touching down on the other side. Well, very good. All right. I wish they had stuck with maglev, but okay. So
I like this laptop that charges in 20 minutes. I like that one, too.
That part is good, let's face it, because that's the real downside of electric cars. You know, people who think, oh, you just fill it up like gasoline. Sure, if you want to sleep for the night, but I'll have to check this out. And apparently there will be regulatory hurdles. No, really? And so they want to launch electric air taxi services in urban areas. What could possibly go wrong? So I don't know. I think this is great. Good. All right. Well, I'll see what
And you can add a phone here, too, besides the laptop in the car, too, that changes colors when it goes below 61 degrees Fahrenheit.
Oh, because that metric is something we all need to know when we're driving? All right.
No, it's just a separate product here.
Yeah.
With the laptop.
No,
yeah.
I was out today. They let me out. And I saw several Waymos on the road without drivers. And I looked at the passengers in the back who seemed to be relatively calm, and I thought, you know, hey, they got more guts than I do, but okay.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm wondering, and I'll have to look this up, is do they take to the interstates? I mean, are they on freeways? I don't know.
Yeah, because when I was in Phoenix in Scottsdale and Chandler, I did not see them because I stayed on the roads.
Well,
I did not hit the freeway.
Right,
yeah.
And apparently they are, they say. And they also now have regulatory approval to operate on California freeways. Well, sure, if they're flying cars, why not this? So yes, apparently Austin.
Yeah, KFI was talking about Waymo over there in California, too,
Yeah, and it's interesting because I had always heard they were restricted to city streets, but now this says California's giving them the go for freeways. Oh man, like I say, what could possibly go wrong? All right, so we'll see. At least it'll give us plenty of mirth, I'm sure. Like the poor guy who couldn't get out when the thing started going in circles.
Yeah, I just like doing things the old-fashioned way, where I get control of the wheel and.
Yeah, well, absolutely. But, you know, when you have a new product, you always have to seek out a niche. You have to kind of find your own market. Well, for Waymo, they said, this service is a go-to choice for pot smokers. Oh, great. That's a crowd I want to brag I was getting. Yes, heading to dispensaries and cannabis-friendly events. No. All right. Well, there you go.
You're just going to give these passengers some weird ideas of what to do while somebody drives for them.
You know, probably so. I think there are probably going to be some Guinness Book people. You know, well, if they have the Mile High Club, I can only imagine what they have for Waymo.
Yeah. All right, well, I'm going to let you get to some other calls. Just some bad news on the job thing, the hospital.
What?
To Tampa General. They're on a hold. They're on a holding freeze.
Oh.
Hiring freeze. Ridiculous.
Oh, man. So now, what else is up in the air currently?
Well, the law firm, the hotel thing, that didn't come through. I mean, I just went ahead and went with some other positions. So, yeah.
I was hoping for that law firm. I would think that'd be an interesting job.
Yeah. The way I'm thinking is, like, if you have experience in that particular, like, if you work for a previous law firm or if you worked in hospitality, hey.
Yeah.
We got you. Otherwise, just move on. That's my attitude.
Well, you're probably right, and that's probably true in every industry and every work situation. I know for me that was always true. When I did Morning Drive and did Morning Drive News, I always got all these sidekick offers. You know, when I was doing Nighttime Talk, I always got Nighttime Talk offers. When I was writing for Billboard, I always got that. Same thing when I was writing syndicated radio, all I got was offers for that. It's like whatever you've last done, they think that's what you're going to do forever.
Yeah, but you definitely kind of got to, like, exaggerate, I don't want to say lie, when you're doing these applications, because the AI will filter you out.
Well, that's unfortunately, you are 100% right about that, and that is something that I never had to deal with, but you are absolutely right. If you are applying blindly, and I will admit that I've never gotten a job at any time in my life from the time I was in high school to this day where I didn't have a personal contact. Never once did I get a job just because I sent a resume and anything. Didn't happen. It was always because I knew somebody who was, you know, intimately familiar with what I could or couldn't do and wanted me.
Right.
Now, at this day and age, people who were making lots of applications, either through online portals, because there's many and all that, you're 100% right. A human being does not see it in the initial stage. The initial stage is absolutely a bot, and it is going to hit keywords, and you're right. You've got to do the research to know what they are to get past that. And I do not consider that lying. I consider that strategizing.
Yeah, strategizing. That's a good word, yeah.
Yeah, because that's
okay,
what
Riley,
you're doing.
We'll talk later in the week.
Good deal. Thanks. I appreciate it. Yeah. I can't imagine what that would be like. But people are doing it all day long these days. We'll get to Paul in Iroquois County. We've got Jim in Richmond. We've got James on the south side. And hopefully we've got you, too. We've got the intervals, that Lamont McLemore record coming up next on WGN Radio. Yes, St. Louis's own Lamont McLemore and Ronald Townsend and Billy Davis Jr. were all in the intervals, and they tried their luck in L.A., and their luck really was on their side because they ran into Leon Rene, who produced that, put it on Class Records, and the rest was history. Yes, in fact, the intervals were history, but Lamont and Ron and Billy all went and became the Fifth Dimension. So yes, and as I mentioned, we're mentioning that sadly Harry Elston has passed away, and his close friend Lamont McLemore is the one who announced that on Facebook today. So 86 years old. So it was a life well lived. All right. So 888-876-5593-8888 Raleigh. And that takes us to Paul in Iroquois County. Welcome back, Paul, to WGN Radio.
Hello, Raleigh. Hi.
What's up?
Four topics. When you go to break for the news, you just hear silence.
Yes, that's correct. In this studio, in the other studio, you get to hear the news if I put the pot up, but I didn't wire it that way here.
Well, does that mean that you couldn't play your normal radio station during the break?
Well, maybe I could, but that would require me to be in the room. I don't stay here. I hit WGN Radio, and I'm out of here. I'm almost flying out of here. So, it is what it is. And, of course, people can listen to the WGN stream if they want to as well. Our stream is, of course, commercial-free because I just let it roll. And then after the show,
maybe we could hear what you guys are saying during the break.
We're not saying anything other than things like, I hope I make it out of the bathroom in time. That's about it.
Well, we wouldn't want to hear that.
Well, that's exactly right, you know, and it's like
but studio chatter would
right.
be.
No. It's more like, should I bring the wastebasket in here to vomit in here, or should I go to the bathroom? No. That's the way the breaks around here happen. That's why there is no video.
Okay. Second topic is, we talked about the Endeavor song, De Guayo, last week.
Yes.
And you said you might look into it.
I am hoping to. I have that written down, but I haven't gotten to it yet.
Okay. Third topic is, you're sort of interested in cars. And what do you think about hydrogen-fueled cars?
If you want to do that, that's fine. You know, I'm old fashioned, and if it doesn't have a V8 engine, at least I don't want to be in it.
I agree with you.
So, I don't know of any big V8 hybrids.
Yes, and I think that would probably be better than electric cars.
Well, I figure in my lifespan, I'm not going to have to worry about electric cars. You know, down the road, people may have to deal with that at some point beyond me. But for me, I'll take that big 8 or, you know, if I really want to be luxurious, 12-cylinder engine.
I like the suicide door cars.
Oh, so do I. Like those 63 Lincolns? Oh, my God, yes. Yes.
The only problem is maybe some low-flying plane will think it's an airstrip and that'll land on it.
No, those were wonderful, and especially those four-door convertibles. Oh, be still my heart. No, there were a lot of land yachts that were just wonderful cars. Some of those old Chryslers, I mean, yes, absolutely. So, that's me. I lust for things like a 66 Tornado, mostly because I love the way the speedometer is, where the dial is stationary and the numbers move, you know.
So, yeah, so I'm interested in those cars, sort of like the ones that had the push button transmission.
Oh, of course. Absolutely. Yes. You betcha. And, all the cars that were three on the tree, you'll remember that. And the cars that had, where you could change the radio stations, it was right next to the button on the floor to mash for your bright lights.
That's right. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I live for that kind of stuff. I got to go. You either have to hang on or I got to go because the news is happening and they're telling me to shut up right now.
Oh, hang on.
Okay, hang on. All right, on WGN Radio.
It's gonna be hard, hard for me not to see you anymore, boy. It's gonna be hard, hard for me not to greet you at the door, boy.
I thought I'd do so well, but now
Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That's the Georgettes. I thought about that when I was playing St. Louis last night, but I realized hard on the Yodi label was actually not going to hit the theme directly because it wasn't one of the Oliver Sane songs, but it was the Young Disciples, and they were an interesting organization. And I'll say organization because it's East St. Louis. By the way, my favorite quote about East St. Louis comes from a former mayor there who said, "There's a city under here," and that about sums it up. Yeah, and so it was that a guy who had been heavily involved in music put together a group to keep these kids off the streets and actually, in many cases, into studios. And so that's where the Young Disciples came about, you know, out of gangs and into studios. And so it was for male and female, spiraling downward. Well, they rode the spiral groove upward, and so it was that there were even labels and all that stuff. And the bottom line was the Georgettes were one of those groups that came out of the Young Disciples, and Hard was a flip side, actually, but the side that I liked better, 1970 on Yodi, the Young Disciples label, of course. All right, so 888-876-5593, we're talking to Paul in Iroquois County, and I don't remember what about.
Okay, the last question is, do they have AM and FM stations in Europe?
Well, yes, but not well, actually, in some places they've done away with AM now. But the deal is they don't use the bandwidth the same, like on FM stations, where everything here is going to be an odd-numbered fraction, like 101.9, 102.1, all that. In Europe, you'll see a lot of evens, you know, 102.2 or things like that. So that's one difference, and depending on the radio you have, maybe it will accommodate that or not. There's other differences as well on AM, where they have it. Traditionally, most countries of the world use 9 kilohertz spacing. We use 10 here, and that's why we'll have like 560, 570, 580. But there, they'll have 540, 549, 558, 567, and on it goes. So it's not unusual to have the big radio station in Johannesburg, South Africa, be 702.
And is there any radio that we could purchase that would pick those up?
Oh, sure. In fact, a lot of the Seacrane radios will as well, because you can fine-tune them that way. Sure, absolutely.
Oh, great.
But are you planning to go? I'll tell you what the Seacrane radios won't do, and because I don't think they put any out like this. See, originally when we came up with the idea for digital audio broadcasting, it was a wonderful system. It was called Eureka 447. It was came out of Germany and Japan, and it was just sublime. But America would not adopt that, and the reason was because economically a lot of the radio stations here were predicated on what we call stick price, where on the dial they were and how many watts they had. And so Eureka would have made AM and FM total parity, and it wouldn't matter where you were on the dial. So it upset the economic apple cart. And at that point, they decided, well, we have to come up with something else. They came up with an utter disaster, in-band on-channel. And I could go on, IBOC, I could go on forever about why this is lousy. But the bottom line is that, and originally, by the way, Canada rejected it, but in their lack of infinite wisdom, they now have adopted IBOC. But so anyway, DAB, Eureka 447, has been refined over there, and it's still a DAB scheme. But the radios here will not pick up DAB.
So the Seacrane radios will pick up.
No, it will not. It will not pick. It will not pick up DAB, like DAB Plus. Right now, I think only Great Britain, that would be including Ireland and all that, and someplace like Romania, they're the only ones on the traditional Eureka 447. Everybody now uses DAB Plus. 29 European countries have been using it since 1967. I believe it is backward compatible, but I don't know. But they are on DAB Plus. But I don't think you're going to see any on the Seacrane catalog or anywhere else here. What we call here HD radio, what a joke that is. But that would be our equivalent. The IBOC scheme would be the equivalent of DAB. And it's in low use here. One of the reasons it is was because originally the idea of having, digital subchannels would be, oh, you can put more niche formats on there and you can, you know, serve the needs. Most people use it as a way to drop an FM translator on the dial in a place that their primary station couldn't get. So, that's the deal. But I think DAB Plus it's well over 50% of the European population is on it. Probably more like 2/3. They're all DAB Plus. And you can read about those standards, but we don't do that here. But let me ask you, how many people have HD radios, what we call them here? I mean, I have one in my purse right now. I was using it earlier today. But how many people have them?
Uh-huh.
You know, and It's funny because I brought one along because I wanted to see what somebody's HD3 was doing. And so I thought, oh, let's just put one of these in my purse and I'll find out. And I did.
And what do you think?
Well, it was Cool FM. I knew what their HD2 was doing. I wanted to know if their HD3 was replaying 96.5 in Spanish. And they were. So I just wanted to know that. So I actually had to have the radio to find out.
Do you think it's worth buying?
Oh, no. Absolutely not. Sadly, when this first started, I would say, yes, there were some pretty nifty things that were on HD. There was a station in Detroit that had an all-psychic channel, which I thought was just hilarious. And there were a number of others as well. But now, most people are either leasing them out, you know, like to foreign language broadcasters or whatever, or like I say, using them to put a translator where it otherwise couldn't go. In other words, let's say you have a radio station and it's licensed to, I don't care where, we'll just call it, it's licensed to Smith rather than use names, okay? Now, you want to put a translator on, but you don't want to cover Smith, you want to cover Jones. Well, you're not able to put that translator on your Smith station, your primary station, and cover Jones. That's not the way the rules work. However, if you got an HD2 station of somebody in Jones, what you do with your Smith signal is you put it on the HD2 in Jones, and now you've got an FM translator in Jones.
And what do you think about the DAB radios?
Well, it's not a question that, you know, all these discussions are the discussion of the delivery truck. All right, I've talked about this ad nauseum. Here's the deal. When you order something from Amazon, you don't go out and look at the truck that comes. You want to know what's in the package. Well, for radio, what's in the package is programming. And I'll tell you what, if the only place you can get that programming that you want is on AM, then you're going to be an AM listener. If the only place that exists is on HD, unlikely, you're going to be an HD listener. So the reality is that programming is the engine that drives this truck.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I don't even know if you, I guess you can still buy HD radios. I have a few of them here. I haven't tried to buy any recently, but I know they're not on sale in most places anymore because no one bought them.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And my last question is, one of these nights when you're too sick to do the radio.
Yeah.
What do you think John would say about doing that night?
Oh, no, John's not interested in doing it. And actually, the few nights that I haven't done it have been because John has ordered me not to do it. And usually, usually at that point, he's pretty close by. But, you know, if it's up to me, I'll be scraping myself off the floor and I'm not giving up doing it, you know, because obviously it pays well. So as far as that goes, like, I can do this. And there are times that John has said, no, actually, right now, you can't.
You know, what's interested me in the past, you said that security in radio DJ business is...
There's no security.
Not very good security.
There's not any job security. Right.
People years ago used to say, Paul, you have a real great voice. Why don't you do radio? And I would say, well, do you know someone to get me in? But I've noticed over the years that listening to people that I like on the radio, one day all of a sudden they're not there anymore.
That's right.
And nobody explains anything.
No, because they're petrified that if they fire somebody and let them back on the air, that they'll say something about them that they don't want broadcast. So that's the truth. But the reality is that if you really wanted to do this, nobody gets into radio. Radio gets into them. If you're talking about people who just do this, like me, for their entire lives. You know, we're the smug kids in the seventh grade in the back of the room on career day because we know exactly what we're going to do. You know, we're the kids who there's no way we're going to the prom because, my God, so-and-so is having a promotion or, you know, whatever. So it really comes down to that you live it, you breathe it, you eat it, and that's all you want. Now, the sad part is, and there's a very, very sad trajectory, and when I was radio editor for Billboard in 1984, I actually did a series in Billboard on this called What's Next. And my concern was that most of these people who knew they wanted to be in radio before they were old enough to drive or anything like that, they had a set of goals. And initially, those goals would drive them. They would walk through hot coals. They would work in radio stations that should be condemned by the Board of Health. They would take no money. But the point is, they were going to reach their goals, if they reached them at all, before they were 30. Now, that's fine. When you reach that goal, let's say you're 25 years old and now you've made it to 93 KHJ in Los Angeles in 1965, all right? And that's great. And so for 2.5 years, man, you're on top of the world. And then one day you wake up and you're empty. Because you don't have goals anymore. Now, at that point, that's what separates success from non-success. And there's several paths you can take, but it's like anything else. We're living in the mall of life, and everything is everything has a price. It's rarely financial, but it's got a price, and nothing goes on sale. And so if you say, I just want to be on the radio, period, I want to be on the air, then the price you're going to pay, number one, is be ready to move. Because the chances are good that when one station lets you go, the next station that wants to hire you is damn near a continent away. Now, yes, there are people who have stayed in a market, you know, the Gary Owens, who, of course, he was in a number of places before he got to Los Angeles. But when he got to Los Angeles, he stayed there. But he was no fool. What he did, because if you say, OK, I'm not leaving Los Angeles, and, you know, after New Orleans and Omaha and Denver, he wasn't leaving Los Angeles. So he did a couple things. Number one is he was a lot of people don't know this, but he was a cartoonist. He did drawings for cartoons and stuff like, for comics and things like that. The other thing is that he got into voiceover, so that there were other paychecks if he was going to be off the air for a while because he wanted to stay there. And if you want to do that, that's fine. And I can't tell you how many people that I've said to them who were, you know, basically lifers. And it's so funny because wherever they are, they think it's a bit like, I'm never leaving Raleigh-Durham. I'm like, you're out of your mind. But that's the way it would be. And if you're hell-bent to stay in the city, develop another business that will give you an income stream in case you're not on the air. And most people didn't do it. And the people that did had a fulfilling life. The people that didn't went hungry. So that's if you want to stay on the air. Now, if you don't want to stay on the air, then now we've got some other decisions, because unfortunately, most of the people who are very good on the air do not have what it takes to be a great salesman off the air. So that path to management is probably not open to them. But there's several others that might be. So that's what the series was about. But yeah, are there people who, Salty Brine in Hartford, in Providence, who stay in a town their whole life? Yeah. But for every one of those, there's 100 who had to move.
The only time that I actually considered being in radio was to think of going to FM. And that way I could say, and now, Ed Mark Craig in the Hall of the Mounted King. Enjoy.
Yeah, the good music stations. There was one I remember. Arthur E. Zucker owned one, and he would chastise all his announcers if they didn't pause for 3 seconds between songs to Montavani or whatever, so that there would be some downtime for the listener to acclimate. And that was what I was called music to listen to on your Macintosh FM tuner.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you know that none of those people made any money. So anyway, yeah.
Well, I know you enjoyed. I'm glad you enjoyed talking about this rally. And,
anything. I'll talk about anything except the things that matter on this particular show. We don't tackle the important stuff, but the unimportant stuff, like life, talk about that all day long.
I'll talk to you again.
Thanks for calling.
Sure.
All right. So 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. We'll get to Jim in Richmond, Tubby in Chicago, James on the South Side, and hopefully you too. We've got another hour and a half to talk tonight on WGN Radio.
Banana split for my baby, a glass of plain water for me. Banana split for my baby, glass of plain water for me. Dispenser man, if you please, serve my chick a mess of calories. Banana split for my baby, a glass of plain water for me. Flip back the lid, scoop anything in sight, make it a rainbow of red, brown, and white. Chocolate chip and everything that's nice, tutti frutti once and spumoni twice. Banana split for my baby, and a glass of plain water for me. Spray the whipped cream for at least an hour, pile it as high as the Eiffel Tower. Loaded with nuts, about 16 ton, top it with a pizza just for fun. Banana split for my baby, and a glass of plain water for me. Banana split for my baby, a glass of plain water for me. Banana split for my baby, a glass of plain water for me. Stack her up with crazy goo, 'cause that's the stuff she likes to wade right through. Banana split for my baby, a glass of plain water for me. Now add the cherries, the kind she loves to munch, skip one banana, use the whole darn bunch. Drown it in fudge, 6 or 7 cans. Give her 2 spoons, she'll eat it with both hands. Banana split for my baby.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Louis Prima, Banana Split for My Baby, 1956 on Capitol. It was Billy Bob and Bourbonnais who wanted to hear that, and now he has. 888-876-5593 is 8888. Raleigh, we got the news, then we got Jim and Tubby and you coming up on WGN Radio.
Echoing back the blues in the night. Now let me tell you, baby, my mama done told me when I was a knee pains. My mama done told me, she said, son, now let me tell you, a woman of sweet talk. Give you the great big eyes. But when the sweet talking's done, all right, let me tell you about a woman. A woman got two faces. I don't worry something. Who'll leave you to sing the blues in the night? Listen, here's where I trap from. From Natchez to Mobile.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and yes, indeed, it is Johnny Taylor's version of Blues in the Night, 1967 on Stax. Dave on the north side wanted anybody's version, and I'm going to play the first one that anybody probably remembers. Now, well, in 1941, you may remember Artie Shaw and his orchestra. You might even remember William Gillespie, probably not. But now when you get to October of 1941, Cab Calloway, now we're talking. And so I'll play the Cab Calloway as well. In most of those cases, it was called My Mama Done Told Me, rather than Blues in the Night. But it was Blues in the Night. And there are over 330 versions of that song, of which I've got a list. Even Rosie Clooney, I mean, everybody. And Chet Atkins, you name it. Shirley Bassey and Earl Grant and on Billy Eckstein and Sammy Davis and you name it. So everybody, Lloyd Price, Bobby Bland, on and on. So Cab Calloway did it twice, actually. I had the 1962 version, but the original was in 1941, and you'll hear it as well. So, yeah, Blues in the Night. All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888, Raleigh. Jim is in Richmond. So, Jim, welcome back to WGN Radio. You'll be pleased to know we have printed out your certificates.
Yes, I talked to John, and can you? He cut me off before I can say thank you very, very much, John.
Oh, sure. No, that's fine. We were happy to do it. I even gave the printer its own preset for you, so it's all good to go.
Only because of the fact that
that you want to see them.
Dimmer.
Yeah, no, I know.
Yeah, I want to see them.
Right.
And number two, it was a bad day on Monday, so and that's why I got emotional.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say one funny thing before it started. I have a few things to say. They just announced Katy Perry is going up in Jeff Bezos' next rocket ship. And do you think she's going to have her version of Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star?
Yeah, I can't. I can only imagine. I was just looking at one of those SpaceX things, actually, and I thought to myself, now there's a country wondering if it's dropping remnants on the ground. So I'm not 100% sure what's going on with any of that, but maybe they'll drop her.
Right. But when I heard that, I started laughing. I could just hear her singing Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star.
Yeah, well, there you are. Yeah.
And then I wanted to tell you Sunday, my television, which I don't see, everything is on the TV, but I watch only shows that I've already seen, you know, Big Bang and Gunsmoke and all those channels, and I was losing all of them, and I couldn't understand why, and I didn't know if the wind, which had tremendous wind over the last 2 weeks, moved my antenna. So dummy me, who can see 32 feet in the air,
goes outside to look.
You know, and I went outside to look, and I took my phone, and I put it on magnify, and I still couldn't see where it was pointing. So then I go to walk back into the house, and I always go up the porch on the right side. So this time, because the antenna is on the left side, I caught my toe going up on the porch, and I slammed down really hard on my knee. And I went in the house and everything, you know. So then later that evening, I couldn't understand why the back of my leg was all swollen. And it hurt really hard on the back of my leg when I bent it. And I was hopefully going to ask you, was that a carpal hemorrhage or something? I don't know. But it was all in the back of the knee, and I couldn't understand why. There was no swelling on the front of the knee.
Right.
You know? So, and now I've been using, I took two Ziploc bags and put them one inside the other, and I used hot water, and I put it on the front and the back, and then I threw it in the freezer, and then I went front and back. It doesn't hurt anymore, but I couldn't understand why the swelling was in the back of the knee.
I'll tell you what it can be, and a direct impact to the front of the knee can upset the PCL, and that's a posterior ligament, and it happens from falls. Or from car accidents, when the knee will hit the dashboard, you know, that will that will very often be the case, and so it winds up being a ligament issue, and there can be a lot of pain, and you know, rice, the usual, apply ice packs to the knee, and you know, all that kind of thing.
Right.
If it continues to hurt, you want medical attention to that to find out what the heck. But there are a number of things that can happen. Just be, you know, you think, well, what's the front of my knee? How could it bother the back? Well, it can.
Well, I thought I was worried that I might have broke the patella in the front of my knee, but that's not it.
Yeah, probably not. I would not think that's it. I would think this is more ligament, and you know, you'll see. When you fell, did you hear a popping noise or anything, or feel anything like that?
No. Yeah, okay. I remember is using a few precious words.
Yes.
And getting up and walking in the house, and feeling stupid that I fell. You know.
Well, and, you know, believe me, we're all that stupid. It's easy in retrospect to look back to what we shouldn't have done. But obviously, if you had any clue that that was going to be a problem, you wouldn't have done it. So I think it's probably ligament. And, you know, that can, you know, not only be painful, but it can last a long time. And very often it's because there's sudden force. That's why I say a fall, or, you know, slam it into the dashboard or something like that.
Right.
And but, you know, I don't think it's a tear. I think you'd be in a lot more pain now, you'd be telling me, than you're. And I think you also might hear that popping or snapping sound. That's why I asked about that.
I've had that for years in my knees.
Yeah.
When they pop. And,
right.
But now it's just not painful anymore because of the ice and the heat.
Right.
And I'm happy about that.
Right. And that's why I don't think it's something serious, but you may be dealing with it for quite a while.
And then I fell on my back in the kitchen the other night.
Oh,
and I'm
no.
going, what the hell's going on here?
Right,
you know?
Right. I know. Yeah, you got to watch out for that stuff, because as we get older, falls can be really serious.
Right, and it's been really tense around here from my friend who we've been together for 20 years, even though we live 9 miles apart, and with the loss of her brother.
Yeah.
And it's been really tense. If I even say I can help, I get screamed at, because it's got to the point where you know, you can't see what you're doing. You're going to fall all over yourself, you know. So,
yeah.
You know, I've been there for the last five people in her family that passed away, and she had to handle everything. And then she yelled at me and saying, "You better not pass."
That's right. I know exactly how she feels. That's right. Don't you dare go. You go, I'm snatching you back. Yeah.
right. Because she's the executor of everything and for me. You know,
right, I know. Absolutely. She's saying you can't go. I don't have a reservation for you for another decade. So stay healthy. Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
I understand.
And she calls it leaving the planet.
Well, it is leaving the planet. Of course, it is.
Right. And now I have a question about on the 24th of February. She mailed a package to my grandson in Florida, and it said on the receipt, it was like 30 by 15, package, and she mailed it down there. Mm-hmm. They charged $22.
Yeah, I know.
And they said it was going to be there in 3 days.
And, of course, it's still not there.
Right. I kept calling them
down
there.
On her receipt, she should have a tracking number.
Oh yeah, we. I'm going to get to that.
Oh yeah, anyways, where is it now? Cedar Rapids? No,
no. But anyways, they said it would be there on the 27th.
Yeah.
So if you're paying $22 for priority mail, and I have a feeling that it sat in Oak Creek, Wisconsin, which is where most packages do, and then I finally got her because she's been so busy with everything. She said, it'll get there.
Right,
well,
she's right.
His birthday was on the 2nd, you know.
Right, well.
His birthday was on the 2nd, and it didn't come.
But he doesn't know that.
So finally, I said, take a picture of the receipt and then send it to me. Well, she doesn't know how to do that, and she sent it to me, and it was just a big blur, even with my big blur.
Right, of course.
You know? So I said, read off the numbers. So she read off the numbers. Mm-hmm. Because they won't talk to me on the phone, I called down to Florida and I said, I can't text you these numbers, but here's the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And then she texted me back, we're sleeping.
Okay.
You know, so then I went and Mr. Blind Guy was able to speak the numbers into the UPS tracking.
Okay.
But I was so frustrated because different screens were coming up. So I had to close all the screens and bring them back on. And I, you know, on my iPad, I can enlarge it, you know, enough to see a little. And I was able to say the number, and I found out that it's sitting in Miami right now and they'll get it tomorrow.
Okay, maybe.
Now, my question to you, can I go on Friday to the Whitewater Post Office and ask for a refund?
No.
Priority.
No, priority mail is not guaranteed. It's just a suggestion. It's just a suggestion. There's only a few categories of mail that you can get your money back, like your overnight stuff and all that. But no, priority mail, no. You have absolutely no guarantee in the world for that.
Right, but I don't know, because I didn't mail it. I didn't know if it was super priority or what.
No, it wouldn't matter. It doesn't matter. It would have to be express mail, like priority mail express, and it would be more than $22, a lot more than $22.
Right.
It'd probably be more like 60 or 80. So, priority mail express is guaranteed either for 1 or 2 day delivery, depending on what zip code it's going to. And the delivery commitment is right on the receipt. And when the USPS does not meet the delivery commitment, you get a refund. But priority mail, no. There are some people who said, well, you know, you could request a refund. I guess you could, you know, Jim, the reality is, yes, you could request one. I've never heard of anyone getting one, but you could request one.
Right.
I mean, they don't have to, is the point.
Right. But I didn't mind paying the $22 if it was going to get there before.
Yeah, but they believe me. I'll tell you when it's really, really upsetting. I mean, a birthday present for a 1 year old or whatever, that's a shame and might be bad. But it's not like missing a financial deadline because something didn't
right.
get there.
That would make me very angry.
I've had it happen. That's why I can say with assurance that they don't have to give you money back on priority. Hang on a minute. Don't go away. Stay right where you are. All right. Because I think I've got a load of commercials, a technical term, don't you know, and before the news. We'll see how this goes on WGN Radio.
And told me when I was in knee pants. My mama done told me, son.
What did she tell you?
A woman of sweet talk.
Yes.
I'll give you the glad eye.
Ah,
but when that sweet talk is done,
keep on a talking.
A woman's a two-face, a worrisome thing that'll leave you to sing the blues. In the night. Now the rains are falling here, the trees are calling. My mama done told me, hear that lonesome whistle blowing across the trestle. My mama done told me, clickin' and clackin' and echoing back the blues in the night.
WGN Radio, one of the early versions of that, Cab Calloway, 1941. And we're talking to Jim in Richmond. So yeah, I just double-checked it, Jim, and no, Priority Mail, you get no guarantee. Priority Express, you do, but it'd be about three times the cost. Why this is happening, because it happens to us a lot, because we do a lot of mail, and John gets a lot of things by mail, packages, several a week, and some of them we see where it's hilarious. It's supposed to go, say, from Dallas to Phoenix, and it'll go from Dallas to Flagstaff. Great, that'd be the next day. No, then it goes from Flagstaff to Denver. Then it goes from Denver to Baltimore. Then from Baltimore, it goes to Los Angeles. Then from Los Angeles, it comes to Phoenix. So if you're wondering, because this happens so often, we laugh about it. It's like pinball, the way it pings around. And what it is it's the automated package system, the way it's done. Sometimes the sender, it can be they have illegible handwriting or they put the stuff in a different format. But very often, it is nothing more than malfunctions in scanning technology. And I'll tell you, we have some of the most well-traveled packages. You wouldn't believe it.
Right. And that is, I'm not going to talk political, but that's from the first administration.
No, that's older. That's older than
the other president,
because he put that guy in.
No,
way
but
older than
when
did,
I order my...
Jim, it didn't start then. Trust me. This is a lot older
right.
than that. I mean, this has been coming since the 1960s when they gave us ZIP, which stood for Zone Improvement Plan. And it's gone downhill
right.
ever since as far as that. So, yes, I know what you're talking about. But no, they were automated
right.
things long before that.
Right, and then you wonder why stamps are 73 cents now.
Well,
you know?
Of course, but
and,
when you look at that, look at everything else. I mean, it's not just mm-hmm. stamps. I mean, the prices today, they literally just make my eyes roll around. I am stunned at what you pay for everything. So stamps,
right.
sure.
When I get my prescriptions, I call Janesville, which is 16 miles away, and they put them in the mail to send them to me. They go to Madison, and then from Madison, they go to Delavan.
I got to leave you right there in Delavan, and we'll be right back after the news. Don't go away on WGN Radio.
Skip a rope. Skip a rope. Oh, listen to the children while they play.
Now ain't it kind of funny what the children say, skip a rope. Daddy hates mommy, mommy hates dad. Last night you should have heard the fight they had. Gave little sister another bad dream. She woke us all up with a terrible scream. Skip a rope. Skip a rope. Oh, listen to the children while they play. Ain't kind of funny what the children say. Skip a rope. Cheat on your taxes, don't be a fool. Now what was that they said about a golden rule? Never mind the rules, just play to win. And hate your neighbor for the shade of his skin. Skip a rope.
WGN Radio, I'm Ronnie James. And Henson Cargill, it's not the 45 version, but it's what I had handy. And that was your request, actually. And if you were wondering, that was Billy Bob and Bourbonnais who wanted to hear that. So he got two tonight. Not bad. All right. So 888-876-5593. We're back with Jim, the ever-falling Jim, his knee and everything else, and the post office. And, okay, so while we were talking, I was thinking about postage here, and it's 72 cents. All right. Now, of course, in January of 1963, it went up to a nickel. And boy, I remember that so well. It had been 4 cents. Went up to a nickel. I thought life was ending. In any event, at the same time, if you looked at the starting salary for the average clerk at a consumer value store, which today would be CVS, that was $1.15. Now, if you look at that today, that starting salary for that clerk at a CVS is $20, and the postage is 72 cents. Guess what? The postage is not outpacing the salary.
Right. And
amazing,
my
but
first
true.
Job, my first job in the 70s, I think, was 2 1/4 or maybe $1 1/4. It was that low.
Oh, I know. $1 1/4 was real common in the latter 60s. I know. Because at the time, I was a full-fledged adult, and I remember getting a job at a radio station getting $3 an hour, and I thought I was so high on the hog. So, yes, I remember that well.
Right, and I want to change the subject now.
Yes.
About email, they did an update on my iPhone, and I'm not getting my emails, and it says privacy on top, and it's driving me nuts, and I'm hitting buttons that I don't even know I hit, and then I find out that I have like 12 unanswered emails. Mm-hmm. So on Friday, I'm going to ask my friend while we go shopping if she could stop at U.S. Cellular and they could fix it.
Well,
I don't understand what's going on.
Right.
And
what is your email server? I mean, how are you getting email? What program are you getting it through?
I'm U.S. Cellular.
No, I know. Well, U.S. Cellular provides the email addresses?
Right, and they're my internet provider.
Right. Okay. All right. So it's one of those
gonna
bundles.
I'm going to talk to them.
Yes, absolutely
do. And then... And that's that. I was trying very hard to send you a picture of Rock, my dog Bear,
right?
And this thing I wrote for my mom, in before she passed away. Now, if Kim, you're listening, I'm going to try to text you tomorrow.
Okay.
And she's done this before.
Okay.
And I want to send Kim the three pictures. And asking her if she can send it to you in care of me.
Okay, it'll be well traveled.
I mean, will that work?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, and also, I can't find my pocket radio.
Oh, I know what this is like.
I lost that too.
Right, it's somewhere in your house. No, I know
right.
That. And believe me, even if you could see just fine, it's so easy to misplace things.
Right, and I thank you, John, and Carol and Adam for all the things you do for me.
Absolutely, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay,
thanks, Jim. Appreciate it. Yes, and we will get those certificates in the mail now that they are mailed. They are printed. Yes, I have to sign them, though, and I will. I will stop whatever it is I think I'm doing and sign those puppies. All right, so Tubby is in Chicago. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Riley, how are you?
I can't complain. How about yourself, Tubby?
I'm good. How's John?
Yeah, good days and bad days.
Yeah, well, you know.
Yeah.
We take them as they come.
That's right.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm going to call today. So Thursday, sometimes I miss out by the time I get through listening to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't mind, I know this is your show. But I want to welcome all the new people that have been calling. I've been enjoying. You said, well, we got first time caller. I want them to know that we enjoy having them because that's how we operate. You know what I'm saying?
Right, absolutely.
So that's the first thing. I'll do my shout outs because I didn't get that last time, Jim, both James and Johnny D. Holler. Now, guess what I was thinking? These are true stories, Riley. Oh, thank you. I haven't had time to wipe my bed this much, but honey, I am so pleased.
Oh, good. Excellent.
Because I can just reach over on my nightstand and push that little button. I was so pleased. Thank you so much.
Oh,
and then when you talk about the claw machine thing, I know exactly, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Out there.
Yeah.
Because I know every place I live, I ride the buses from one end to the other so I can get around good. But look, okay, this was funny. I'm going to tell you the funny one first. This was D.C. I don't know if I told you all this one about the when the, what's that movie? Dang it. That's what happened. Okay, look, you'll know. Is it The Exorcist? The one where the girl's head was spinning
around?
Oh,
yeah, that was The Exorcist, all right. Yes, indeed.
Scared me to death. And at Antioch, we'd always do things together. We were in all these different cities because we had work study, right?
Uh-huh.
And so they would call me. I was telling you about the watch line, but everybody would call me for the weekend hangout, where we were going, Holgate, so where we're going to eat, what we're going to do. So by the time I get, and you had to buy those tickets ahead.
Right.
And that was way back then, right?
Uh-huh.
So it was like, by the time I get in, I don't do scary movies. By the time I get into the theater, I'm sitting front row. Oh, my God. I was like, well, what really scared me was one night I lived and worked in Georgetown.
Uh-huh.
And it was a rainy, dark night. And you know where the lamp is hanging over the, they had this lamp hanging over from the street.
Uh-huh.
I think it was Prospect Place. People don't know. And I had to, the lady that was typing for us, that was when Nixon was resigning, you know, that Watergate stuff. So she invited, Mary invited us to her house that evening. I was like, heck, you know, they had zone cats. Do you ever live in D.C.?
Mm.
You ever live in the district?
Yeah.
Of Columbia?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, well, you know what I love? Zone cabs.
Okay, all right.
Remember zone cabs anyway?
Yeah.
So I got in the cab, and I had never been past, I've been across the Key Bridge, but
right.
I had never been beyond Georgetown. You know, when you go not towards the White House and the Capitol, but when you go beyond.
Right,
okay?
Right.
It was a dark ride. I got in the cab. I looked up. Guess where we were?
Where?
Crossing right where they fell off that where they fell down the steps and over the where the lamp was hanging over that street. Everybody will know. They watched that movie. They'll know.
Yeah.
There was a big one. And I scared my pants off. And it was a dark, rainy night. And I was in the cabin. I looked up. I was like, oh, my gosh. They're coming for me. Okay,
yeah.
I got something happy for you. When I applied for my job, I hate to talk about the windows, but I got to tell you this one. When I went for that job interview, when you said it was who you know?
Yes.
Not what you know?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's the way we say it in Chicago. My girlfriend in Miami sent me there. She's from New York. And I stayed with her sister first, Priscilla, behind on Jerome Avenue. Anybody who knows this, they'll remember. Jerome Avenue behind Yankee Stadium, okay?
Right.
And,
I know, I know exactly where Jerome Avenue is in the Bronx.
Oh, that's what I like telling you. You know where I, you know this stuff.
Well, yeah, I know because I had a friend. We could sit out on his porch and actually watch the games.
Like they got for Wrigley Field now.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
So anyway, I was just like, oh, my God. And I would be by myself. I'm just adventurous like this. They were wiping the seats off with these white gloves.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, you have to have that experience. Okay, U.S. Open. I found a ticket on the ground. I went to the U.S. Open. I can't remember who, what year.
Right, yeah.
I'm starting to write this stuff down. What I've got in my scrapbook. If I look at my scrapbook, it'll tell me.
Uh-huh.
U.S. Open, a $450 seat ticket. I had to say that. Based on what they're charging for sports events now,
uh-huh.
That ticket was a $450 ticket, okay?
Wow.
And I was like, this stuff just, I was like, wow. We went to Studio 54. I hated my friendship I had. He left the windows, and we took him to Studio 54. that was a blast.
There you go.
That was a blast. Okay, what else? Okay, now I got Yankee Stadium.
Yeah.
And we got the tickets and the dollar gun.
Yeah.
The Cavs. Boston. Did I do Boston?
I don't know. Boston's tough, let me tell you. Yeah, no, Boston. No. Jeez.
Boston used to pay when you got off the bus.
Yeah.
Now we got on the bus, and they always had Jimmy's. They put Jimmy's on the ice cream. I think that's enough for tonight.
Yeah. But, you know, by the way, you mentioned about paying when you get off the bus. And if you remember, that was the MTA song by the Kingston Trio, how he couldn't get off because he couldn't pay the excess fee.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Charlie handed in his dime at the Kendall Square station, and he changed for a Jamaica plane. When he got there, the conductor told him one more nickel. Charlie couldn't get off the train. Did he ever return? No, he never returned, and his fate is still unlearned. He may ride forever neath the streets of Boston. He's a man who never returned. And it was actually originally for a political candidate, but then it became a real big thing. You know, his wife come down to... Yeah, anyway, if you've never heard that, I'll play that for you.
Play it for me. They have some quirky stuff in Boston.
Oh, well,
I'll tell you.
Yeah, it's known as Roxbury. No.
No, look. I worked at Roxbury. I know.
John lived there.
Yeah, he lived in Roxbury.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Well, you know, when the train comes down and makes that turn to go down Huntington Ave, I remember all this stuff. Well, I used to walk where the Huntington Ave car would come down all the way to the train, got to the subway entrance when I was working for Gim Publishers as an apprentice, you know, my first summer.
Yeah.
And I had to take my scholarship for Antioch. I was scheduled for the first quarter, but that's when I did my sequence change because I got this internship in Boston first. So I did that, and then I stayed in Boston for 9 months. But you know what? I wanted to tell you, I had never been in the middle state, Arizona.
Yeah.
And I took the train across country. When it got to Las Vegas, all these people were flying off the... It was like they had 20 minutes. They were flying off the train.
That's great.
I didn't know what the hell was going on. I said I wouldn't get off the train and save my life. They said that's what I learned. They had slot machines everywhere.
Absolutely. Yeah, gas stations, whatever. Yeah, you betcha, of course.
Did they have them in the bathroom, too?
Yeah, well, they had them... Usually, they had them right outside the bathrooms.
Oh, okay.
You know, like they'd have a men's room and a women's room, and in the center, between the two would be like three slot machines.
I said, I am not getting off this train, okay?
Yeah.
In the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
Riley.
All right. Talk to you soon. Okay, thanks.
Thanks.
Okay, bye. All right. So we will definitely play the MTA song coming up. In fact, I don't think I have. I was actually going to play some early Lou Reed, but hey, it's a story. But the Kingston Trio will come up next on WGN Radio.
These are the times that try men's souls. In the course of our nation's history, the people of Boston have rallied bravely whenever the rights of men have been threatened. Today, a new crisis has arisen. The Metropolitan Transit Authority, better known as the MTA, is attempting to levy a burdensome tax on the population in the form of a subway fare increase. Citizens, hear me out. This could happen to you.
Well, let me tell you of the story of a man named Charlie on a tragic and fateful day. He put 10 cents in his pocket, kissed his wife and family, went to ride on the MTA. Well, did he ever return? No, he never returned, and his fate is still unlearned.
What a pity.
He may ride forever neath the streets of Boston. He's the man who never returned. Charlie handed in his dime at the Kendall Square station, and he changed for Jamaica Plain. When he got there, the conductor told him one more nickel. Charlie couldn't get off of that train. But did he ever return? No, he never returned, and his fate is still unlearned. He may ride forever neath the streets of Boston. He's the man who never returned. Now all night long, Charlie rides through the station crying, what will become of me? How can I afford to see my sister in Chelsea or my cousin in Roxbury? But did he ever return? No, he never returned, and his fate is still unlearned. He may ride forever neath the streets of Boston. He's the man who never returned.
Yes, yes, that's it, the MTA. This is a political song, actually. As Charlie's wife goes down to the Scully Square station, and she every day at 2:15, and through the open window, she hands Charlie a sandwich as the train comes rumbling through, and it goes on from there. But in the end, it's interesting because in one of the last verses, you citizens of Boston, don't you think it's a scandal how the people have to pay and pay? Fight the fare increase, vote for George O'Brien, get poor Charlie off the MTA. Well, actually, it wasn't George O'Brien. Here's the story, and that is in the song, but... In 1949, there was a Progressive Party candidate, a guy named Walter A. O'Brien. This man could not afford commercial time. Of course not. He's in the Progressive Party, all right? And so he enlisted a couple of folk singers to write this song. And actually, as far as the lyrics, that was unique. As far as the melody, well, maybe not so unique. It was the ship that never returned, the wreck of the old 97. And so who cares? But so, by the way, Walter was running for mayor. And so since he couldn't afford the commercials, what he did was, once he got the words and the song and all that, he had the folk singers sing songs from a touring truck with a loudspeaker. And he was disturbed $10 for disturbing, he was fined $10 for disturbing the during the piece. But one of his major campaign planks was to lower the price of riding the subway. So that was the deal there. But a decade later, the Kingston Trio put it out, and no longer the MTA song, just MTA. And it was so popular that when MTA, now MTBA or whatever it is today, put out their rider card, it was known as the Charlie card. And I think to this day it's the Charlie card because, of course, that's the deal. All right, so... So much for the history of Boston. But, you know, and then you get South Boston, which, if that's not South Africa, I give up. All right, so we'll get to Gary in Austin. We'll get to James on the South Side. And we'll get to you two coming up on WGN Radio.
Walked down to your house last night, see if you were home. Found out that you'd gone out, and I was all alone. So blue,
so blue,
so blue,
so blue.
I'm always crying over you.
So blue, so blue, crying over you.
Went to the candy store, but you weren't there. Somehow I knew deep down that you weren't fair. So blue,
so blue,
so blue,
so blue.
I'm always crying over you. Why did I have to go and stop your love? Why hadn't I been true and more attentive to you? Sometime when days are gone and memories have passed, I will recall our love, one that didn't last. So blue,
so blue,
so blue,
so blue.
I'm always crying over you.
So blue, so blue.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. At 15 years old, singing lead and writing it, that's Lou Reed, who would have turned 83 last weekend, born in 1942 in Brooklyn, grew up in Freeport, learned to play guitar by listening to R&B, rock and roll, and obviously doo-wop. And the group was the Jades, and his friends Phil Harris, and not the other Phil Harris, obviously, and Alan Waters were in the group as well. And that was the B-side, So Blue, and it was on Time Records, which was Bob Shad's label, the guy who had Brent and later Mainstream and all that. So yeah, Lou Reed, 15 years old. Who would have thought it? All right, so 888-876-5593. Gary is in Austin. Gary, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Sorry.
Well, hey, Raleigh, just a quick thought for Jim. Yes. With his email.
Yeah.
In iOS 18, they changed some settings in the Mail app.
Oh.
So what he might want to do is go into his inbox, and then there's more in there. And go over to list view and tap on that, and then it'll change it to list view, and that should give him all his mail back.
If he uses the program.
Yeah, I'm assuming just the way it sounded like he's just using the stock mail app on the phone.
All right. Well,
just from how he described it.
Okay.
Now, he may be using something else, but just from what he said it was doing, it sounded like he was using that.
So yeah, and maybe. This is so sad. Mac Mail, and especially for OS X, or OS, I should say, is just horrendous what they've done to it over the decades, because it used to be a fine little program, but they wanted to integrate with the cloud, and they wanted to do this, and they wanted to do that, and it's become just a cluster.
So he, he can go into his inbox on his phone and more, and hopefully that you go to list you and change it. That should hopefully do it if he's using that regular iOS stock app. So.
Okay. Works for me.
And on the delivery truck,
yeah.
I was thinking about that. I was talking to somebody about this the other day, and we were talking about how that we had not turned on a radio in like 6 weeks,
mm-hmm.
and how, you know, like 20 years before, we would have never said, oh, you know, I'm not going to turn the radio on today, you know, and now I don't, whatever I listen to, in some cases, the streams are better than the frequencies. You know,
the processing, unlike mine, which is sent out before I process anything, so the levels are just a nightmare. But yes, there are a lot of good streams out there. So the question is, okay, haven't listened to the radio, actually in a physical radio, in about 6 weeks, but I bet you have listened to radio stations online.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Even local. And then there are a couple of local ones I like. I just don't pick them up that well on the radio, so it's just easy to hear them on my phone.
Well, and it's easy to do that, too, because they have so many aggregators that are, you know, easy to use and all that. Why not?
And, you know, it's just like, I got like all just thousands and thousands of favorites of, you know, just, you know, various places and all this. And it's great. Just if I'd had this as a kid, I'd have never gone anywhere.
Well, that's what I always say. I wouldn't have left my bedroom if this was available in 1958. They just could have thrown meat under the door once a day and I'd have been happy. Yeah, this is never I would have left the house. Are you kidding me? But thank God they didn't. Now, what's sad, of course, is now I've got all that stuff that I can listen to, but I don't want to hear any of that for the most part.
Yeah, that's the sad part about it, you know.
Yeah. I want to bring back soul radio from 1963. So
that sounds good to me.
Yes, exactly. And there's so little of that on Airchex, of course, because it's right before Norelco brought out that cassette player that everybody had. And so almost nobody recorded in reel-to-reel on that stuff. So most of that stuff is just gone forever.
Yeah. Yeah, there's very little of it out there.
Yeah, it's sad.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
And because you were talking about that with Paul and various DAB things and that, and it's like, there's going to be a time we won't really need a physical radio.
Oh, that's absolutely true. And that changes the paradigm somewhat, because one of the problems with the internet, of course, is that the supply and demand formula goes out the window. There's literally, you know, as you say, thousands and thousands of offerings. Now, the problem is, if you don't have that terrestrial tie-in, if you don't know it's there, there's no search engine that has ever been set up to let you search for something you've never heard of.
Yeah, exactly.
And
yeah,
so, you know, you try to put in all the different words you want in there to hit. But the reality is, if you don't know it's there, the likelihood that you'll hear it is still not great.
No, that's true.
So that's the problem. So sure, you can go online and hear any radio station you want, but you know what those stations are apart from being online. Yeah. And they're
you gotta know they're there.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So and until that's changed, the terrestrial tie-in is really, you know, if you scratch the surface of these highly successful podcasts, you'll see somewhere along the way there was a terrestrial tie-in.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, and they came from hosting some visible show.
Right.
Or whatever.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
We're able to monetize that.
Right. Right. You know, the guy who did Mornings in L.A. who now has a big podcast, that kind of thing. Well, if he hadn't done Mornings in L.A. and nobody heard of him, how many people would he have listening to the podcast?
Yeah.
And so,
exactly.
Yeah, I just like NPR is always one of the biggest podcasts ever. Well, yeah. And NPR is ubiquitous. It's available everywhere. So I'm more interested in things that are completely homegrown. And I have a feeling that among younger demos that probably exists and probably exists in formats like Twitch or something like that. But for most of us adults, if we're unaware that it exists, the chances of us finding it are nil.
That's true. That's true.
You know, now
how to be young and hip.
If a podcaster had money, like a lot of money, what they would be smart to do is advertise their podcast on websites or even pre-rolls of streams that you know that people are checking out.
Sure.
But
sure.
That usually is not something that, you know, podcasters can afford to do. But without that terrestrial, and someday maybe they'll, and I feel very mixed about that. Like, I really don't want any inductive reasoning into my searches, you know. I want everything to be nice and deductive, because even when they talk about AI and all that, that's still a form of deductive reasoning, you know. It's when it starts to become inductive that now I'm getting scared of Hal.
Yep. Just a couple thoughts on that.
Yeah.
Hopefully that'll work out for Jim.
Yes, I hope so. All right. Thanks for calling, Gary. I appreciate it.
Sure.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. So 888-876-5593-8888 Raleigh. We will get to James on the South Side, who's been hanging on forever on his stories, and we'll see what's up with that. But there is room available for you, and there's one more bumper coming up. I'm not sure. It'll be one of your requests, I promise, on WGN Radio.
You ask how much I need you, must I explain? I need you, oh my darling, like roses need rain. You ask how long I'll love you, I'll tell. Until the 12th of never, I'll still be loving you. I'll love you till the
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James with Johnny Mathis, who actually didn't like that song, but it was James on the South Side who requested it. 1957 on Columbia. It was a flip side. It was a flip side to Chances Are. And interestingly, and that was Ray Conniff's orchestra behind him and all that. But anyway, interestingly, both sides got a lot of airplay and both charted. And in fact, it was listed on Billboard's quote unquote most played by jockeys list during a 1957 survey. And it was gold record. And of course, both songs wound up on his 1958 Johnny's Greatest Hits. That album was on the Billboard Hot 100 charts, I swear, for 30 years. I'd have to look it up for sure. Definitely 20. But it was one of those things that just would not go away. I will have to look that up and let you know. But anyway, that was James on the South Side and his request. So, James, welcome back to WGN Radio. Are you still awake?
Yes, I'm still awake.
All right.
I did have one little thing to say about, I had an interesting mail story myself from right during the pandemic, the early days of it. Uh-huh. I had ordered a certain group of items from Oldie.
Okay.
I heard some movies, some tapes, and some a book or two. Anyway, the package, after a while, this would be 2 months before I actually got it. It just rebounded back and forth for about 2 months between Graceland and the South Side.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, it's and all it's got to be is automation. You know, it can't possibly be anything else. But yeah, it's not unusual that the packages travel more than the rest of us.
Yeah, actually, the replacement for it got to me before the original package.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Yeah, it was I almost was when I thought about that, I said, Graceland. Well, I could almost say, I can call you package. I can call you my long lost child.
Yeah, right. So that's the deal. All right. So stories, domestic house cats with bird flu.
Yeah, that really kind of scares you a little bit.
Well, you look a little deeper, and what you find out that in this case, both of these cats were living in the homes of dairy workers with occupational exposure displayed, respiratory and neurological symptoms and all of that. But they did have supposedly no, the other cases had no direct exposure to dairy farms. But in these cases, maybe not direct, but certainly direct by virtue of the family members.
Yes. That was a little bit slightly disconcerting, though.
Yeah. It was in the CDC's weekly morbidity and morality report. Gee, I want to subscribe to that one. But
I just hope it doesn't disappear.
Yeah, right. Well, there now, is that. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, I like that one continue.
Right.
So. Then there was the one where employers are keeping tabs on workers.
As well they should, by the way, if they're talking about workers from home. I don't have any problem with that. Many employers use keylogger systems where they know exactly what someone is doing online. And why shouldn't they?
Yeah, they've been paid to work even though you've been working from home.
Well, and of course, again, usually it's on a computer, it should be, that's been provided by your employer to do the work, whatever the work is. And so why wouldn't they do a keystroke logging? Now, I realize some people are upset if it's going to be video surveillance or things of that nature. But as far as keystrokes or as far as GPS tracking, if it's a laptop, what on earth is wrong with that?
It would seem all right, but when I consider like there was the political meeting where the politician was unfortunately was a little too involved with his secretary to think that his constituents were more important.
Well. I guess you'll uncover a lot of those things. But yeah, I just don't understand the gripe of people who are having the benefit of working at home where they're saying, no, I don't want anybody to be able to monitor me. What are you? Well, nobody should pay you. It's that simple.
Okay, you are getting an advantage of, you don't have to come out. All you have to do is just sit down, do it, and work, and then, okay, if you, is the employer satisfied, you're doing a good work, then everybody's happy.
Yeah, and some jobs work very well that way. Others don't. But I know in the last year or so, we've seen employers demanding employees return to the office. And it's interesting the blowback they're getting on that.
Oh, yeah. And I think, and part of, okay, the part, another thing that seems to happen is that, okay, nobody, some people didn't realize that the ones who stay at home thing, where you go, okay, work from home, that also impacted peripheral things that depend on office workers to come in for different services and goods and what have you.
Right.
Oh, and as well as the office rental space, and said, that we don't need as much because not as many are coming in. And let's not forget now transportation, public transportation, that gets impacted. And you start running down the list, you say, whoa, this is kind of getting eviscerated here.
There's so many facets of this, and certainly I understand why many of the workers would want to stay home. But if they're able to do that, depending on what the job is, I think they should willingly want to be monitored as far as that goes. But as of this year, a lot of companies have started to say you're coming back, and if not full time, certainly several days a week. And I don't know that that's, again, necessarily a bad thing in terms of, I think it should be the employer's discretion. You want them in the office, have them in the office.
Yeah, and in a way, actually, there's a school of thought that suggests that if you get too sedentary, okay, this impacts
right. And you know, for people who are ambitious, work at home actually will cause them to work a lot more. So there's that side of it too. But yes, to ignore your exercise needs, ignore your dietary needs. You bet. But like Dell had announced this month that all hybrid remote employees who live anywhere near a Dell office are going to work in the office 5 days a week. And I know Amazon had announced that as of the beginning of this year, that they will be back in the office. Now, apparently, they've been mandating 3 days for 2024. Now they're saying, nope, it's 5 days now. And so, I can see the argument go either way. But what I can't see is that it's not the employer's choice. Of course, it's the employer's choice. You've got the choice of not working for them.
And if you've got talent, you can make your own game.
Right. Well, exactly. A friend of mine's wife, who now sadly has passed away, but she worked exclusively from home, and she made easily six figures. But here was the deal on this woman. She knew every medical code known to man, and she could do medical billing off the top of her head. Well, you bet that every hospital in the world wanted her. They didn't care where she worked, you know. So,
They say, walk this way.
Right. That kind of a skill. Yeah, it was tremendously in demand. So if you have the goods, you'll be able to call more the shots. But it's interesting now that that people are saying, you got to come back, and the employers are, I'm not coming back. So we'll see.
Yeah, it all depends. If you've got a certain skill, you can basically, as the Giant Paycheck song said, you can take this job and shove it.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's always in the news. Oh, I meant to say earlier when I was talking about Waymo, and I mentioned the idea ideal for marijuana users. That's not the company policy, of course. They stringently say that you can't do that, and they have a whole list of things that you can't do. But when you look at that list, you have to say, somebody tried that? Because the list was developed on what writers tried to do, and they're not. You can imagine they're not down for that. So it's fun to think, but we'll see. And also,
I thought about this. I said when I heard that, I was reminded of like a variant off of a song from, I think it was from the '70s or something like that. But a variant goes like this. I get high on the fly.
Oh gosh, yeah, right. All right. Well, all right. We'll channel Harry Chapin in your spare time. All right. Now you have ended the show tonight, and we will talk to you soon.
Okay. All right,
thanks.
You take care.
You too. All right. So that pretty much is a wrap. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. But above all, I thank you for calling. That's what makes the show easy for me to do, and I like easy. All right. So 21 hours from now, we will reconvene. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.